This is a story by Allison Lynn from the book Kindness Matters. It is called The Purple Coat. Allison had been at church all week, helping set up tables for the annual rummage sale. She says the church was her second home, a respite from the pressures and busyness of university life. In church, she felt loved and accepted for who she was. The morning of the rummage sale, she arrived early to make coffee for all the volunteers. The treasure hunters were already lined up outside the door to get the best bargain. Allison didn't get a shopping break until late morning, when most of the good stuff had already been sold. The coat caught her eye right away. She could see herself wearing it on a winter's eve, with snow falling softly around her. It was cape-like, full-length, royal purple, with a plush faux fur collar and cuffs. But why had such a beautiful coat not already been scooped up by the shoppers? Allison tried it on, and immediately she knew she wanted to buy it, until she looked at the price tag. The coat was listed at full designer price, at a rummage sale. "Is this correct?" she asked a volunteer. "Yeah, isn't it ridiculous?" she replied. "Mrs. Sharp said she would only donate it if it could bring a very large donation to the church. She's the one who set the price." Allison couldn't believe it. Rummage sales are supposed to be places where single parents, students, and pensioners could come and find bargains. This seemed to go against the spirit of the occasion. She was angry at Mrs. Sharp, who she knew was quite wealthy. Allison knew she couldn't afford it, so reluctantly she put the coat back. Throughout the day, others also looked at the coat, but walked away when they saw the price tag. At the end of the day, the volunteer from the coat table came up to Allison with a large garment bag draped over her arm. Puzzled, Allison unzipped the garment bag, only to find the beautiful purple coat. "For you," said the volunteer. "It's a gift. When Mrs. Sharp came to the table, we had to explain that nobody could buy the coat because of the price. She asked if anybody had been particularly fond of it, and I told her about you. Mrs. Sharp said, 'I remember the day I got this coat when I was just a young woman. Draped in the purple splendor, I felt like a queen, like I could take on the world. This coat and I have made a lot of memories together.' Then she took out her wallet and gave us the amount on the price tag. She said, 'This coat needs to be worn by someone who will truly appreciate it. Someone who will create lots of extraordinary memories wearing it.'" Allison couldn't believe it. Not only had Mrs. Sharp paid for her own coat, but now she wanted Allison to have it. Her stomach twisted into a knot when she realized that in this place, where she had received so much love and acceptance, she had been so quick to judge someone else. She was overwhelmed by Mrs. Sharp's overflowing grace and generosity. She gathered the soft purple folds into her arms She knew it would be keep her warm and be a joyful flash of color on a gray day, and they would create lots of memories together. Allison learned a powerful lesson that day. People aren't always who you think they are. Be slow to anger, be slow to judge, and when given the chance, be outrageously generous. Be boldly and unapologetically kind. Surprise others with your compassion and goodness. You never know who you might bless in the process. Many of us have been blessed by the women in our lives, some who are very close to us and some who we barely know. I was a member of Emmanuel United Church for 24 years, and during that time, there were several women who mentored me and helped me find my calling as a lay worship leader. Women like the late Anne Squire, who was the first lay woman to become moderator of the United Church of Canada, and Christine Williams, who was our lay minister and encouraged me to participate in mission learning trips and come back and tell the stories. There were others who encouraged me along the way too. I graduated as a licensed lay worship leader in 2015, and I've now led worship over 150 times in 30 different churches in Eastern Ontario and Quebec. I never dreamed I would have had the opportunity to share my faith by leading worship with a lot of great music directors, choristers, and lay people, and meet so many wonderful United Church people along the way. And it is all because of some great women mentors. In the passage from Acts that Mary read, we meet Lydia. Lydia was a businesswoman who lived in Philippi, which was a city that was known for its fine textiles. Lydia and her staff created expensive purple cloth, which they made with a dye they got from certain shellfish found only in the Mediterranean region. Purple cloth was a statement of status, power, and wealth in Roman times. And still today, we believe that the color purple has a balance of red stimulation and blue's calming properties. And it is traditionally associated with royalty, majesty, and nobility, as well as having a spiritual or mysterious quality. Lydia had a fine home where her employees and servants lived. And she even had a room for guests. She was a believer in God, and since there was no synagogue in Philippi, every Sabbath day, she and her friends would gather by the river Zygactus to pray. She was familiar with the Hebrew scriptures, but she didn't know about Jesus. Jesus had lived in Israel, and she was in Macedonia. They didn't have TV or Facebook to find out what was going on in other parts of the world, so they had to learn about things from people traveling through town. Paul, of course, was an apostle of Jesus. He believed that Jesus had a lot to teach us about love, peace, and justice. He and his friends Silas, Timothy, and Luke were traveling around, preaching the gospel and baptizing people in the Holy Spirit. One day they came to Philippi and found Lydia and her friends worshiping beside the river. Paul started talking about Jesus, and as we are told, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So Paul took Lydia down to the river to be baptized, and she invited the rest of her household to come and be baptized as well. Afterwards, Lydia said, "Now we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. You must be hungry and tired from traveling. Please come to my house for some food and rest." Paul's heart was opened too, and in this passage we find proof that the barriers between Jew and Gentile, female and male, are passing away. Paul and his followers went to Lydia's house to share a meal, and they became friends. When she took them into her house, she created one of the first home churches in Europe. Lydia became one of the leaders of the Christian church in Philippi, and Paul went on to share the good news and baptize many other people along the way. Lydia was a wise, kind, and generous woman with a strong faith. I'm sure we can all think of women who have had a positive influence on our lives. So today we give thanks for Lydia and all the mother figures, sisters, grandmothers, aunts, and friends who have been a part of our lives. This is an adaptation of a poem by Maya Angelou. "I have so much I can teach her and pull out of her. I would say, you might encounter defeats, but you must never be defeated. I would teach her to love a lot, laugh a lot at the silliest things, and be very serious. I would teach her to love life. I could do that." May we always be grateful for the women who have shared their time, advice, and encouragement with us. And may we be there to teach others to love life too. May it be so. Amen.